We're glad to have you here for our travel article. Everyone always likes travel articles. And, of course, I am one of your teachers, Doris. And then we have other teachers with us today.
I'm Joe, and I'm actually really excited to hear about this location.
And then we have Linda. Hello, Linda.
Yes, I am very excited about today's program, Doris, because I have been to the place that we're going to talk about.
And that's exactly why you have to be here today, and we're going to find out more about that when we get into the article. So are you all ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Well, it's talking about a place called Namibia. Is that right?
Yes.
And it says it's a wildlife paradise. A lot of wildlife there. I love to see all that wildlife. Don't you, Joe?
I love seeing wildlife, especially not just the zoo, but in a natural habitat.
Right. Well, what does it say about this country, it says?
This sparsely populated country delivers lots of surprises for safari goers.
Lots of surprises and lots of interesting things. In fact, I think Africa is such a big continent, and many times I think, where would I want to go there? And I think after reading this, this might be a good place. What do you think?
Absolutely. Actually, I'm going to have an opportunity to go to South Africa. I feel like now I need to go just a little north.
You better. You
should.
End your trip.
That's right.
Okay, that's good. Well, open your magazine to page 16, and let's just read the introductory paragraph, the first paragraph.
Namibia, a wildlife paradise. This sparsely populated country delivers lots of surprises for safari goers. My first glimpse of Africa came from a nature program I watched as a child, seeing elephants and giraffes lumber across a dry African landscape was in stark contrast to my suburban wildlife encounters that entailed red robins and gray squirrels hopping across manicured green lawns. I longed to one day see Africa's wildlife in person.
Now, at the beginning, it talks about people's glimpse or first look at Africa. And a lot of people's ideas come from programs, National Geographic, and there's so many programs about the beautiful nature in Africa.
Right. You know, as a kid, I would, you know, wake up Saturday morning and watch those programs and see elephants and giraffes. And that's usually what I would think of when I think Africa.
Right. We think of elephants and giraffes and everything. And it says that they lumber across this. That means that they walk in a very, what, kind of a slow, heavy way, right?
Right. So to lumber, to move slowly, awkwardly, you think of large animals, or you can even use it to describe things like, you know, the economy is lumbering along. It's
very
not growing
slowly
fast.
And heavy,
slow.
Right. But the African landscape is quite different. It says it was a stark contrast, which means a sharp, very different thing than the suburban wildlife that we see.
Right. And so, you know, the writer here is talking about how his wildlife encounter is a suburban, just sort of just outside the city.
Like cows and horses and things.
Maybe not even. Maybe just squirrels and little birds.
And maybe a couple of bears if you live someplace near the woods.
Right. And so he would say that his suburban wildlife encounters that entailed, and entailed just means involved or what's included. You know, he says red robins and gray squirrels.
Right, that's true.
Yeah, so maybe a bird here or there.
Well, right, not an elephant.
No, yeah, that's right. Not.
Well, and it says that they're hopping across what they call manicured green lawns. Now, I think a manicured is going to the beauty shop and getting your nails fixed. But what does it mean here?
So manicured here is just that it's well-kept, it's very trim. We can use it to describe a manicured lawn or even a manicured garden. You know, different things. It's not just your nails and your hair. It's been trimmed. It looks nice.
Well, this author here said, I longed one day to see Africa's wildlife in person. And have you ever felt like that yourself, Joe?
I have. You know, I really love Chinese history. And so in college, when I finally got to go to China, I thought, I'm experiencing Chinese culture and history in person, not just in books or through movies or programs.
Right. And the same way with Africa. You see that, you know, are you going to go there and see it in person someday?
That's right. I'm looking forward to seeing all the wildlife. I've heard in South Africa they have penguins. And
yes,
I'm very excited.
Well, the exciting thing is that today in our studio, we have someone who has actually been there and lived there for a while, and that is who?
Linda.
Linda, you actually have lived in Namibia.
That's right. I lived there for about a year and a half. Actually, I went to Namibia through a volunteer program, and Africa was actually my last choice. They gave you a choice of continent where you wanted to go.
Was that with the Peace Corps?
Mm-hmm. Yes, with the Peace Corps. It's a U.S. government mm-hmm. agency. But I ended up in Africa. But I'm so glad that I went there because I probably wouldn't have had an opportunity to go there, you know, if I didn't go through Peace Corps.
I know. That's true. It seems kind of far away, and a lot of us think about going maybe even to London or Paris or something, but not so many people think about going over to Africa. But it's really an exciting place.
It is. And when we're small, we think of animals, you know, wildlife as Africa, and we don't really, you know that much about the continent.
That's
but
true.
Really, Africa is made up of many different countries and nations and people who speak many different languages. I mean, there's some overlap in culture, but very different cultures. And so in Namibia, I was located in the northern part of the country, and I was teaching there.
You were teaching what? English?
I was in a teacher training program. So I was teaching English to the teachers there in the primary schools.
It's very interesting to know that actually that is the language of the country, but they have about 20 different dialects now, so many people.
Right. They have many different languages. Like a lot of African countries, within that country, there are a lot of different languages. So they decide to make English the national language so it can unify the country.
Did you all hear that? You have to speak English in all
these countries. If you go to Namibia.
Right. Or a lot of African countries.
A lot of countries around the world. That's why you are listening and studying right
now.
So this will take you far.
How did you like your time there?
I loved it. It was an amazing time. Although I didn't live in the city, I lived out in the countryside where there was no running water or electricity. I didn't live in a hut. Some people did. I lived in a house, but yeah, it was primitive in some senses. Like, I still had to go to the outhouse, like the toilet mm-hmm. was outside.
Mm-hmm.
So it was really scary in the dark at night going to the outhouse.
Were there any wild animals around at night?
No. I mean, there are domestic animals mm-hmm. like farm life. They mm-hmm. have cows and goats and chickens and stuff.
Fun,
but no wild animals.
Okay.
There used to be, though. Mm-hmm. Actually, in the area that I lived, there used to be a lot of elephants and the people who were there, they told me that when they were young, they would see elephants, but they were killed off or, they were run away because it was mm-hmm. populated. Yeah.
Could you imagine you're going out to the bathroom in the middle of the night, no lights, and you're boom, boom.
You run into an elephant. That actually would be really scary.
But I'm telling you, when I first came to Asia, I had to live in places like that, too,
mm-hmm.
and it was kind of scary, and outdoor toilets, and,
yeah.
you know, so sometimes in those earlier days, things were different. But just think, when did you go there? What year was that?
It was in 2000.
2000,
yeah.
So that was, you know, not that long ago. Right?
No, not
how long did you
know?
I mean,
that's
a
while ago.
Consider when I first came here.
True,
yeah.
true.
But, how long did you stay there?
Yeah, I stayed about a year and a half as a volunteer. I got to travel all around, so I got to visit other African countries, including South Africa.
Wow.
Oh, that's wonderful. Well, I'm so glad she's here today, aren't you?
She's going to be a great tour guide through the article.
Well, you know, we're going to have to read on here about that. We'll hear about her adventure, and the one who wrote this article will have to read about The Adventure Begins. Let's read the next two paragraphs.
The Adventure Begins. That day finally came on a trip in Namibia with African Profile Safaris. My adventure started with a thrilling ride in a bush plane from the central capital city of Windhoek to the far northeastern panhandle of Namibia, the Caprivi Strip. The Caprivi Strip is that rare part of Namibia that has a perennial abundance of water. On my drive from the airstrip to Nambwa Tented Lodge, I saw two large herds of elephants, an experience so well-timed it almost seemed staged. The lodge looked lifted from the pages of a Hemingway novel. This modest collection of rustic yet luxurious safari tents is built on elevated wooden platforms near the floodplain of the Cuando River in Babuata National Park. This wet region of Namibia is the only place in the country where hippo, Cape buffalo, red lechwe antelope, and other animals that need abundant water can truly thrive.
So, the adventure begins. We're traveling through Namibia, and the author tells us that he actually took a safari, so he was with a company, the African Profile Safaris, and that's where he began his adventure. He had this thrilling ride on a bush plane, and it's amazing to hear just this adventure unfold. It's almost like reading a novel to hear about the bush plane and the...
Bush plane? Well, what kind of a plane is a bush plane?
Yeah.
Bush is used to refer to the countryside, like a place that's far away from the city. So he had to probably take a little small plane, you know, to get from the capital of Windhoek to where he was going. And he was going to the Caprivi Strip, which is a little small part up in the northeast. It's the panhandle of Namibia. And what is a panhandle?
So, you know, a panhandle is just that little strip of land that connects a broader area. You know, if you think about the United States, you have the Florida panhandle.
Right my up home in state.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of places that have that kind of panhandle near the water, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Well, they went from the central capital city. What's the name of the capital city?
Windhoek.
Were you there?
Yes, I had to start there. So most people fly into Windhoek because that's where the airport, international airport, is. And from there, you will take transportation to wherever you're going.
Wow. Just think of that. And this part here, this part of Namibia, they have a perennial abundance of water, which just means that there's a lot, huh?
Yeah, because the rest of the country is very dry. It's either semi-desert or savanna. But in the Caprivi Strip, it's very wet. And so they have a lot more wildlife and a lot more, well, fauna and flora.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's good because we really need that water. That's true. Well, then he drove from the airstrip. We got off the plane to this lodge in the Namboa, tented lodge. It sounds like a place where you stay in tents, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they saw two large herds of elephants. Now, as you mentioned before, there used to be a lot more of those, but right now, people have killed off so many elephants. You don't see as many as you used to, which is too bad.
Right. Hmm.
But it seemed like they just staged this, like, okay, here comes this tour group. Let's have the elephants come on.
Yeah.
But not really. That was just natural, wasn't it?
That would have been amazing, though. Just feel like these elephants are coming to greet you, to welcome you into the Caprivi Strip.
Right. It seems almost unreal.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow.
Well, what was this lodge like?
So it was, a tented lodge, and it was interesting because this lodge, he says, looked like it was lifted from the pages of a Hemingway novel. And Hemingway, he wrote several novels about Africa. Mm-hmm. One of them was Green Hills of Africa, and it was actually about his safari through Africa in 1933. But he has it's a very rustic, kind of old-looking safari tent. And it's on elevated wooden platforms near a floodplain. So you can just think, it's far
We're
out there.
We're going way back. Like
way back in the past.
Well, just here, the lodge looked like it was lifted from. It means that it was taken from. In other words, they took this novel and made the lodge look like something out of his book.
Right. So if it says lifted from, it seems like it's just like it would be in the book or in that novel.
Mm-hmm. So it says that this modest collection of rustic yet luxurious safari tents. So they're rustic, which means that they look sort of like the past in a way, but still they have a lot of luxury in them. They probably have a lot of things that the people didn't used to have that lived in tents.
I'm sure, yeah.
So that would be interesting. And then they went near the floodplain of this Cuando River. And where's that? What's the name of that park?
In the Babuata National
Park. Let you say all these names because you've been there.
Our expert today.
Right.
Not really, but have more of a familiarity with
That's
the
right.
names.
Well, this wet region of Namibia is the only place in the country Now, where these hippos and Cape buffalo and all these different kinds of antelopes and other animals come because they need that water to really live and thrive.
Right, exactly. So they might not be able to thrive in other parts of the country. So here they can because of the abundance of water. And another reason why the lodge would be on elevated wooden platforms is that it's a floodplain. So they needed to be up above where floods or water would wash them away on the ground.
Right. You don't want your luxurious safari tent to go away with the water.
No, you don't.
I like these photos. I hope you have the magazine. You can see the pictures. It shows that, doesn't it?
Right. So on page 17, if you look up, actually, this, if you really want to understand this article, the pictures, I feel, are very helpful.
Mm-hmm.
So you can see the different animals they have on the top there.
Right.
And just looking at that tent, you just feel like you're in the middle of a forest somewhere. And if you go on any safari, it's going to be an amazing experience.
So you recommend that for everybody? Hmm?
Definitely. Definitely go on a safari sometime in your life.
That's good. Well, did you go on a safari when you were there,
too? I did, yeah. I actually went on like a self-guided safari in Etosha National Park, which we'll talk about a little bit later. Actually, tomorrow we'll talk about. And I also went to safaris in Tanzania.
Isn't that nice to have somebody that's been there to talk about the articles?
You can enjoy and have an expert rather than just, you know, Africa and
right.
someone who doesn't really know.
But, you know, remember now, where is this place in Africa? It's on the...
It's in the southwest.
Southwest, right.
It used to be called Southwest Africa.
Okay.
Before it
Okay, and in fact, actually, the country was under Germany for a while, weren't they, a long time ago?
Yes, they were a territory of Germany before, so that's why German is spoken in some parts of the country.
Okay, and then what happened later on? It became part of
South Africa,
didn't it?
Yes.
Then when did it become an independent country?
It became independent in 1990.
1990, so it's kind of a new country as far as that name is concerned. It's an old country, but it's been under the Germans, and some people still speak German there.
Exactly, and also Afrikaans, which is the language of South Africa, and they speak many indigenous languages as well.
I think it was after World War One, I think, that the South Africa took
right,
over.
It became a part of South Africa.
But then in 1990, they became their own country called Namibia. And so they still have a lot of different languages and everything there. But they decided they were going to use English. I mean, they have a lot of dialects, German, English, other dialects. They said, let's use English. So that's why we should go there. We can talk to them.
We can actually have a conversation.
Isn't that good? And there's a lot of things to see and do. We're going to find out about them. Let's read the next column on page 17, the last column for today.
A surprising treat. After the Caprivi, I had an unexpected treat in the form of a visit with the region's indigenous San people, aka Bushmen, at Fiume Bush Camp near Grootfontein. Cattle farming has more or less trapped these nomadic people inside fences and other borders. Cattle farmer Jorn Gressman grew up with Bushmen on his parents' farm and is trying to help the San make the difficult transition into the 21st century. After introducing our small tour group, Gressman let the San teach us how they hunt and gather, build bows and traps, and find water in the harsh savanna climate. They also shared traditional songs and dances.
So, we're continuing on our adventure, and there's a surprising treat the author had. He had an unexpected treat in the form of a visit with the region's indigenous San people. Linda, who are the San people?
Well, they are a hunter-gatherer group who live in Namibia, and they also live in Botswana. So they don't have a permanent home. They are nomadic, which we see is
like gypsies kind of, huh?
Yeah, they move around because they follow wherever they can find food.
I see.
So they don't have a permanent home.
Wow. And the Bushmen, and who are all these people? Tell us about that.
if you want to know more about the Bushmen, there is a really funny movie.
Really?
It's called The Gods Must Be Crazy. There's actually version 1 and version 2 or sequel to it.
I've heard of that movie.
Yes, oh. You should really watch it. It's extremely funny.
What's
it's
the name again? The Gods Must Be Crazy. Okay.
Yeah, and it's about the Bushmen or the Sand People.
Mm.
And just, it gives you a glimpse into their life, but through a very humorous perspective.
Mm,
because they encounter a Coca-Cola bottle. It drops from the sky because somebody in a plane happened to throw out a Coca-Cola bottle. And they've never seen it before because they're quite primitive. And, you know, they think it's this mysterious object. And it's just the adventures that follow that. Oh. But something else about Coca-Cola, in Namibia and in Africa in general, you can find Coca-Cola everywhere.
Really?
So, yes, when I went there, that's when I understood that Coca-Cola is the most ubiquitous, like the shape of the Coca-Cola bottle is the most ubiquitous shape in the world. Because
well,
you see it everywhere.
Company.
Yes. It's difficult to get fresh, clean water to drink, but you can find Coca-Cola and Fanta anywhere
Fanta?
You go.
Oh,
yes, you can find...
Remember that when you go there.
Right.
Yes, carbonated drinks from Coca-Cola anywhere, but you'll be hard-pressed to find fresh drinking water.
I think water's
oh,
more
wow.
important.
So does that mean everyone's just sitting around and drinking Coke and bottled water's a luxury?
Well, it's not really... Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Because...
It's not too expensive or anything for
No, it isn't. Because at every shop, they call them kuka shops in the area that I lived at. It's just like places that you would go to get a drink. And you see everybody drinking a bottle of Coke or Fanta. And yeah, so... I don't know about now. Probably you can find bottled water more easily now.
No bubble tea.
No bubble tea. When I was there, it was hard to forget.
Well, it's interesting, you know, these people, as you say, they're nomadic people. They're kind of like the Mongolian people were that way. And there's a lot of people, the gypsies that travel around. And they don't like to just stay in one place. But now they have to do, this is cattle farming, has kind of trapped them, these people that usually go around, inside of fences and other borders, because they have to take care of their cows and things, so they can't run around like they used to, huh?
Well, because of the borders, the fences that these cattle farmers have put up, that makes it more difficult for the Bushmen to get around, right? And they also, you know, might be now invading or
right.
Trespassing.
That's such a big thing, you know, before the land was just open to anybody and now it's this.
Well, that's
is my
even hard
property.
For the animals. I mean, you know, we take a lot of the space the animals used to have and they don't know what to do either.
Exactly.
But it talks about this cattle farmer, Gorn Grishman. He sounds like a German name to me.
it's probably an Afrikaans name.
Uh-huh. Right.
Which is Dutch,
that could be Dutch,
derivative
right.
of Dutch, but then Dutch, it comes from German.
German.
So
that's
roots are in German.
Well, he grew up there with his parents, and what is he trying to do then?
Well, he's trying to help the Bushmen or the Sand People make this transition into the 21st century, like dealing with these, you know, these blocks.
Good for him. That's right. He's trying to help them, you know, because it's not easy for them. And anyway, what goes on to say for the last paragraph? He led them to hunt and gather bows.
He taught them. He let the sand teach the author how they hunt and gather to build bows and traps and how to find water, which is very important in the harsh savanna climate.
Right. And so that savanna, you know, savanna climates are usually areas where they have one season of rain and the rest of the time, it's just dry.
Yeah, it's very
so
dry.
So they have to trap and find the water and keep it so they can use it. But one thing I think sounds interesting is that they also shared their traditional songs and dances. And tell you what, the people in Africa, all the different groups have their own kind of music and their own dances, and African music has become popular in a lot of places in the world.
Mm-hmm. And they all have, like, this sense of rhythm, this amazing sense of rhythm. Everybody can sing. sing really well and dance really well.
Kind of like the tribes people in a lot of countries, you know, they seem to really have
true. Really good rhythm and dances and folk songs.
Mm-hmm. That's pretty interesting. What an exciting place. I'm sure a lot of you want to go and visit. You can check on some tours that might go there because it's a wildlife paradise. And so what are the most important things for us to remember from today's lesson?
I think one of the most important things is to leave the suburban wildlife, those manicured green lawns, and go on an adventure.
That's right. That's a good
idea. Yes, definitely step outside of your comfort zone. Many people might think, oh, Africa is too wild, or I don't really have an interest there. That's what I
thought
in the
beginning.
Maybe I
can't speak the language. Right. Are they speaking?
But yeah, you can speak
English
there, and you can have an adventure. And definitely go on a safari, you know, to see animals, but also go to other areas. There are many places in Namibia besides the wildlife area.
We'll talk about them tomorrow then, won't we?
Yes, we will.
So be sure and be back tomorrow when we continue finding more about this very interesting country over there. Will all of you be here? You'll be back?
Yes,
I will. Yes, definitely.
Okay, we'll see you then. Goodbye for now.
Goodbye. Goodbye.